all'alto. La 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 la. Presto, bottega, che la paga, presto. La 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 la.
Now, is it Elmer Fudd hunting bugs, or is it bugs rubbing hair tonic into Elmer Fudd's head?
No. The hair tonic was from Barbara Seville.
I know.
Do you?
I'm just making a joke everybody's going to get, okay?
Are you?
Relax, Paul.
Do you?
6:39 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Janice Gilley is the Escambia County Administrator. She joins us this morning. Janice called for the music. Explain yourself, lady.
Yes, so this is what happened. Fred Levin was a huge benefactor of the opera. So there were many. I know he loved the Rat Pack, but I knew that an opera song would be an appropriate tribute for him today.
Well,
so I just wanted to mention he was one of the most interesting people I've probably ever had the opportunity to spend some time with in my life. So I just wanted to make sure that his love for opera did not go unnoticed.
Well, that's touching, wonderful, makes our jokes look silly. So I apologize for that in advance. But no, you're exactly. I mean, what an absolutely fascinating guy. And the guy who's done everything, tried everything, knows everybody. You know, that kind of an unbelievable person. Well, let's see. Today we have the Committee of the Whole meeting that is going on this morning. That is a non-voting meeting where the commissioners get briefed and talk about things. The big item on the agenda, from my perspective, feel free to disagree, you're the county administrator, is the broadband survey. Are we getting results today? Is that what's happening?
Yes, so we're actually getting the study today. What'll be very interesting is the commissioners are going to actually discuss the results of the study. Unsurprisingly, we have a broadband issue, particularly north of I-10. But from an economic development standpoint and from a citizen standpoint, there are things that we can do, and even as far as becoming our own internet service provider, an ISP, which a lot of communities are doing around the country.
Hmm.
I've not always necessarily been a fan of municipally owned utilities. However, I would say that in this instance, when we are now realizing that internet is becoming, or broadband is becoming, the same thing as utility, electric utility or even water service, because, I mean, I think the pandemic has really pointed that out. If you work for Navy Federal and you've been sent home, pretty much if you live north of Cantonment, your life is very, very difficult to maintain that job because you don't have the connectivity that you need. Same thing goes for these remote learning for our students. So I think what you're going to see is a real serious conversation by our commissioners to look at whether or not Escambia County wants to consider becoming an ISP, and then what the cost is and what the results may be for our citizenry and our economic development. So it's a big deal, and I'll be honest with you, it's one of those major game changers for our community if the commission decides to, go out there and try and pursue grants and maybe even implement this. So, I'll leave it up to them from the policy perspective. I know that our team and our consultants are going to provide them the information they need to make that decision.
Yeah.
And one more piece of that, it doesn't all have to be our own money. There are a lot of grants coming down through the CARES from the federal mm-hmm. government, and the state has made a commitment to expanded broadband in rural areas. Even though we aren't designated a rural county, we try and sneak in the north end as substantially rural whenever we have those conversations with the state.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right in terms of, where we are at in terms of internet connectivity in the pandemic as people are trying to do remote learning or work from home. And we're discovering that, a lot of us have highways to our houses and a lot of people have bike paths, and maybe not even that. And I mean, take this the right way. I know you'll agree with me because, you're conservative generally, but the, how bad must it be in the North End that people are like, please give us government service? but it's that bad. The North End is really, really bad for internet connectivity. And it's a lot of money to put in that middle mile to get from the main hubs out to the regional
yeah.
hubs that are going to spoke out to the individual homes. And that's, government money may be the way to go on this because it is becoming, like you say, a necessary public utility. And as you say, we'll see what the commission winds up doing with this. One of the other things that I wanted to ask you about, and this is more just kind of a technical question, as you
yeah.
well know, Doug Underhill has been on orders. I don't know if he's back from orders yet or not, being in the reserves. But this had become an issue in the meetings about him not being there, unable to be there because of his military duty, which we all recognize that happens. Is it allowed, because the question had been raised, is it allowed even for him to call in if he were able? He may not be able, might not be allowed by military policy, but is that allowed currently?
Right. So, I mean, I'll give an example. When I first went on the school board, I literally went on there like 9 months into my pregnancy. And so I delivered a baby, and I was on a school board meeting that evening or the next evening from my phone. And that was considered an extenuating circumstance. And I think our attorney has said that there can be extenuating circumstances like that in which you can participate by phone. So I think the extenuating circumstance may be something like if he's in a foreign country. I think that his orders may be such that he's not allowed to have communication based on the nature of the unit that he's in. So I think it could be more about his end versus our end in his instance. But I do think, like, let's say a commissioner had an accident and maybe they were bedridden, due to an illness or something like that, that may be considered an extenuating circumstance that would allow them to participate by phone just because they physically couldn't be here from that perspective. So, you know, my gut says that in his instance, it could be more related to the type of military service that he provides that would keep him from participating on with us.
Sure. And that's
I think the attorney made it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a key thing for people to understand, is that even if it were allowed from like the county's side legally, you know, under the state of Florida rules, still Commissioner Underhill might be completely prohibited either based on military policy or the nature of whatever he's doing. Or, I mean, there's all kinds of other reasons where even so. And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I think it's it become a kind of a discussion point. I know people have these questions. Even I had a question about the legality.
Yeah, and there are legislators that serve in the military, and they've served like overseas, Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, I mean, different places, right? And they were not able to participate via phone, from those foreign places. So, it could just be on the military side that makes that determination.
All right, very good. Janice Gilley is the Escambia County Administrator. Janice, one of the things that I've seen sort of a lot of talk on social media about, and I certainly have my own concerns about this, is EMS staffing whether we have enough people really to handle the call load. I mean, this has come up before with firefighters, but can you just maybe comment on that? Are we short? And if so, what are we doing to fix that?
Yeah, so right now we have 11 folks in the what you call the pipeline, going through training and stuff like that. Not only fire but EMS are both very concerning to our staff. But as I've mentioned almost every time I've been on here, we need people to apply for all the jobs that we have, and fire and EMS are two key areas from a public safety perspective that we need folks to come and join our team and be part of it. We did raise the rate, the wage for the paramedics and the EMTs in this past year to try and, we did an analysis, and then the board was very supportive of increasing their pay. What tends to happen, though, subsequently is our neighbors see us raise it, and then they raise it. So
right.
It's one of those, catch-22s. I think the other thing that's important to notice, when I look at resumes or work experience for folks in some of these occupations, they're very fluid, right? They work with us for a while, they go work with another entity for a while, or maybe they work with us and they do, what I used to call moonlighting with, our neighbors, our partners to the east and west of us. So it's a very fluid, it tends to be a very fluid occupation. Fire and EMS tends to be very fluid. But, the bottom line is this. We do have EMTs and paramedics in-house. Do we have as many as we'd like? Absolutely not. We're down, I think, about 11 positions, particularly in the paramedic side. So, we are trying our best to fill those. On the fire side, we're down 5 firemen, and obviously everyone knows 1 fire chief.
Yeah.
So we're trying our best to get those positions filled. But I'm just telling you, as a society, I'm having a tough time getting equipment operators, getting, all types of animal welfare employees, folks that kind of want to do what I call hands-on work. I'm just encouraging folks, if you're able-bodied and you want a job, please come look at our our positions that we have available.
I believe it. And we found out, you know, Sheriff Johnson was talking about this the other day, too, that, you know, there just are not enough people becoming cops. The supply of cops is not enough to keep up with the demand. Even if you pay more, there's only so many cops around, and you wind up taking from other agencies, which sounds like this is a similar kind of position that you all are in with EMS and fire and, you know, have equipment operators and so forth. Hey, you sometimes like to end with a question. Do you have a question for me today?
I do. So, you know, we're both pretty busy, and, you know, you always like to dream about that thing you'd like to learn or do or be better at. So tell me, if you could instantly pick up one skill, like snap your fingers and have that skill, what would it be?
Oh, a car mechanic.
Oh, that's cool.
Now this is because I hate manual labor and I hate working on my car whenever I need to do it. And so if I could just bypass the hatred and be good at it, I would take it. Not because I want the skill, but because I want to not have the pain. That's
I love it.
How about you? You got one?
Yes, I want to play the mandolin. So my husband and my sons got me a mandolin for my birth for Mother's Day a couple of years ago. And I've taught myself a couple of songs, but dadgum, I want to play like they do at the Grand Ole Opry on that mandolin.
Oh, I've got a guitar in my closet that's been there for as many places as I've moved closets, and I would love to play the guitar like Paul Stadden, but that's at this point probably never ever going to happen. So.
Yeah, Alison Krauss is amazing. I'll never sing like her, but man, if I could just pick a tune like her.
Janice Gillis, she's the Escambia County Administrator. Janice, thanks for the time. Have fun in the meeting this morning. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.